Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After Midnight.
The first time it felt wrong, it wasn't because of what he said. It was because of how certain he sounded. They were driving home on a quiet afternoon. Nothing out of the ordinary, just the usual route they had taken dozens of times before. When he leaned forward slightly in his car seat and spoke in a calm, almost absent way, as if he were pointing something out that had always been there. He said they used to have to close the door twice, otherwise it wouldn't latch. There was no building there. His mother noticed that first, not the words themselves, but the disconnect between what he was describing and what she could see through the windshield as they passed the stretch of empty land just beyond the curve in the road. It was the same lot it had always been, flat, uneven, nothing but grass and a few scattered trees near the back, and yet he was talking about it as if it were still something else entirely. At first, she assumed he was mixing things up the way kids often do, pulling from somewhere else and placing it where it didn't belong. That explanation was easy, and it was enough to keep the moment from becoming anything more than a passing comment. She told him there wasn't anything there. He didn't respond right away. When she glanced at him in the mirror, he was still looking out the window, focused on that same spot, as if he were waiting for something to come back into view. A few seconds later, he added that it used to slam if you didn't hold it. That detail stayed with her longer than it should have. Not because it was dramatic, but because it didn't sound like something a 4-year-old would invent without a reason. It sounded like the kind of thing you only noticed after dealing with it more than once, the kind of small, specific annoyance that sticks in memory. Still, she let it go. There wasn't enough there to question, and by the time they reached home, it had already started to fade into the background of everything else he said throughout the day. A few days later, he brought it up again. This time, it was his father driving, taking the same road they always did, when their son leaned forward in his seat and said people used to park along the side, because the front was always crowded. It was said casually, without emphasis, as if it were obvious. His father told him there had never been anything there. Again, no argument, no follow-up, just silence. That was what made it easy to ignore in the moment. If he had pushed, if he had insisted or tried to explain himself, it might have turned into something worth paying attention to. Instead, he simply accepted the correction and moved on, leaving the comment behind as if it didn't matter. It should have ended there. What changed was when it followed him out of the car. One evening, his mother found him at the kitchen table with a piece of paper and a handful of crayons, working with a level of focus that made it clear he wasn't just drawing for the sake of it. When he finished, he slid the paper toward her without saying anything, as if the act of showing it to her was less important than getting it right. It was a building, not a generic shape or something loosely imagined, but something with structure, a long, low form with one side slightly wider than the other, a smaller section attached near the front, and a door placed off to the side rather than centered. The space in front of it had been left open, clearly intentional, as if it mattered. When she asked what it was, he told her it was the same building he had been talking about. He pointed to the side and indicated where the door had been, explaining that it didn't close right unless you pushed it harder than you expected. Then he traced a line along the front, marking where people stood when they were waiting, before pulling his hand back and leaving it at that. There was no excitement in it, no sense that he was telling a story. If anything, it felt like he was describing something familiar, something that didn't need to be explained because it had already been understood. She told herself it was imagination, that once an idea takes hold in a child's mind, it repeats and builds on itself until something else replaces it. That explanation was still reasonable, still enough to keep everything in a place that made sense, but it didn't settle the way it had before. A few nights later, it came up again at dinner. There was no let-in, no connection to anything they had been talking about. He simply said it didn't smell like grass there before. Both of them paused, not because of what he said, but because of how easily it fit with everything else. When they asked what he meant, he tried to explain it the only way he could. He said it smelled warmer, heavier, something that stayed with you after you walked through it. He didn't have the words for it, but the way he described it made it clear he wasn't guessing. His father suggested he might be thinking of somewhere else, a garage or a shop, somewhere that would make more sense. This time, he shook his head. Not forcefully, just once. Then he went back to eating. That was the first moment that didn't pass. Later that night, after he was asleep, his mother found herself back in the kitchen, looking at the drawing again. It was still simple, still something a child could have created on his own, but now the details felt less random and more placed. The door, the open space, the way the building connected together. It didn't feel like something he had made up. The next afternoon, she mentioned it to a neighbor without intending for it to matter. It came up in the middle of a normal conversation, the kind that drifts without direction, and she said her son kept talking about the empty lot down the road as if something used to be there. She expected it to be dismissed. Instead, the neighbor paused. There was a moment where he seemed to be searching his memory, trying to place something he hadn't thought about in a long time. Then he said he thought there had been a building there years ago before the area had been developed the way it was now. Not recently, not anything most people would remember, but something. He didn't offer many details, only that it had been small and tied to some kind of work, the kind of place people passed without paying attention, unless they had a reason to stop, and that was enough. Because until that moment, everything their son had said could be explained. Now, there was at least one part of it that couldn't be. That night, when they drove past that stretch of road again, neither of them said anything at first. They didn't need to, because for the first time, they weren't just seeing an empty lot. They were both wondering what had been there before. And from the back seat, in that same quiet, certain tone, their son said, "The work didn't happen in the front. It happened farther inside where people waiting couldn't see it." Neither of them corrected him. They just kept driving. And for the first time, neither of them knew what to think. After that, they stopped brushing it off, and they didn't change how they spoke to him, and they didn't turn it into something they talked about openly. But there was a difference in how they listened. What had once blended into the background now stood out, not because he was saying more, but because everything he said fit together in a way that didn't feel accidental. He never corrected himself, never changed a detail, and never sounded like he was guessing. Each time it came up, it felt like he was remembering something already settled in his mind. For a few days, he didn't mention it at all, and it almost seemed like it had faded on its own. That would have been the easiest outcome, something they could have accepted without needing to question it further. But when it came back, it did so in the same quiet, certain way. They were driving that same road again when he leaned forward slightly and looked out toward the lot. He hesitated for a moment, as if something didn't match what he expected, then said the front used to be closer to the road. He gestured toward the edge of the pavement, marking a boundary that no longer existed, then leaned back again, as though that small correction explained everything. Neither of them responded. For the first time, they let it pass without offering an explanation. That night, they talked about it more directly. They didn't jump to conclusions, but they couldn't ignore how consistent it all was. It wasn't just repetition. It was structure. Every detail connected and nothing conflicted with what he had already said. There was still no proof, but there was no easy explanation anymore either. They decided quietly to see if any of it matched something real. It didn't take much. His father mentioned the lot at work in a casual conversation, expecting nothing more than a guess or a shrug, but one of his co-workers recognized it immediately. He said there had been a building there years ago, before that part of town had been developed. It hadn't been large, and it hadn't been there long, but it had existed. When it was gone, it was cleared out completely. There was nothing left. When asked what kind of place it had been, he didn't offer much detail, only that it had been some kind of small industrial operation. What he did remember was the layout, how the front had been separate from where the actual work happened, and how most of it wasn't visible from the outside. That was enough. It didn't explain everything, but it matched just enough to matter. That evening when they drove past the lot again, neither of them said anything. They didn't ask him questions or try to guide the moment. They simply waited. As they passed the curve, he leaned forward again, his attention fixed on the same spot. and after a few seconds, he spoke. He said the machines had been in the back, explaining that people didn't stay in the front very long and that once you went inside, you couldn't see what was happening unless you were already part of it. It wasn't detailed in a technical sense, but it made sense in a way that felt structured, not imagined. Neither of them corrected him. Neither of them tried to explain it. They let him finish, and when he did, he leaned back and went quiet again. That night, neither of them tried to force it into something comfortable. They stayed with what they knew. The building had existed, and the layout matched, and their son was describing it as if he had been there. The next afternoon, they did something they hadn't done before. They didn't present it as anything unusual. They were already on that road, already approaching the curve, when his father slowed the car and pulled over along the side where the ground leveled out enough to step out safely. For a moment, no one moved. The engine idled and the empty lot stretched out in front of them, unchanged and ordinary in the same way it had always been. His mother turned slightly and told him they were going to step out for a minute. He didn't question it. He unbuckled and waited. When they stepped onto the grass, the quiet felt more noticeable than it should have, not because anything was wrong, but because there was nothing there to break it. The ground was uneven beneath their feet, and as they moved a few steps in, he slowed, then stopped before they did. He looked around slowly, not searching or confused, but comparing. He turned slightly, taking in the space, then lifted his hand and pointed toward a specific spot near the center of the lot. There was nothing there, no change in the ground, no sign that anything had ever stood in that exact place. Still, he didn't hesitate. He took a few steps forward on his own, stopping just short of where he had pointed, and stood there for a moment without speaking. Then he looked back at them, and for the first time, something in his expression shifted. It wasn't confusion. It was recognition. He said it happened fast. He didn't explain what it was, and he didn't need to. After a moment, he added that no one saw it coming. Then he looked back at the empty space in front of him, and quietly, as if it were just another detail that didn't need explaining, he said someone got hurt there. After that, they didn't ask him anything else. There didn't seem to be a reason to. What he had said in the lot felt complete in a way the earlier comments hadn't, as if whatever he had been describing had finally reached the point where it didn't need anything added to it. Pushing him now didn't feel right, and neither of them wanted to risk changing something they didn't understand. For a few days, nothing happened. He didn't mention the building again, and he didn't react when they drove past the lot. The quiet return to normal should have been a relief, but instead, it made everything that had already happened feel more real. It hadn't faded or unraveled. It had simply stopped. When they finally decided to look into it, they kept it simple. They weren't trying to uncover a full history or piece together every detail. They only wanted to know if what he had said connected to anything real, something they could confirm without turning it into more than it already was. It didn't take long. There had been a building there, just as they had been told, but what they hadn't known was how it ended. The details were limited, passed along in fragments rather than recorded in any complete way, but one thing came up consistently. It had happened suddenly, without warning. The kind of failure no one sees coming until it is already happening. Something mechanical had given way. No one had time to react. The words settled heavily once they heard them. Not because of how they were said, but because of how familiar they felt. It happened fast. No one saw it coming. Someone had been hurt, seriously enough that the building never reopened after that day. And within a short time, it was closed, then cleared, and eventually forgotten. When they learned where it had happened, they didn't speak right away. There was no need to confirm it aloud. It was the same spot exactly where he had pointed. They didn't tell him what they found. By that point, it didn't feel necessary and it didn't feel fair. Whatever had been happening had come from him without prompting, and bringing it back to him now felt like it might change something they didn't understand. They waited to see if he would say anything more. He didn't. Days passed, then weeks, and gradually, without either of them noticing when it began, the comments stopped entirely. The attention he had once given that place was gone, as if it had never been there to begin with. The first time they realized it, they didn't say anything. They were driving the same road, following the same curve, and when they passed the lot, he looked right past it. There was no pause, no hesitation, no sign that he expected anything to be there. It was just empty, the way it had always looked to them. Over time, it became something they didn't talk about. Their son doesn't remember any of it. Not the comments, not the drawing, not the afternoon they stood in that lot while he pointed to something no one else could see. When they asked him about it later, he reacted the way someone does when they're being told a story that doesn't belong to them, with no recognition and no connection, only confusion. They stopped asking after that. Even now, years later, they still drive that same stretch of road, and the lot hasn't changed. It remains empty, quiet, and unremarkable, with nothing to suggest that anything had ever been there at all. If you didn't know better, you would assume it had always been that way. But every once in a while, as they pass it, one of them will glance at the other for just a moment longer than necessary, both of them thinking the same thing without saying it out loud. They know what was there. They know something went wrong. What they don't know, and what they will probably never understand, is why their son ever knew it at all.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.